Hi, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Among the Realms, coming to you on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm Diane. And with me tonight also is Jackie.
Hello.
And Dana.
Hello.
And we're coming to you from the Trinity Metaphysical Center. And we're located at the Hardeston Plaza North on Route 23 in Hamburg, New Jersey. And we're going to be talking tonight about letting go of the past. And we're going to discuss ways of trying to do that and why we should. But in the meantime, Jackie, why don't you tell us what we can find here at the Trinity Metaphysical Center?
Well, we do psychic readings, we do mediumship readings, energy healing, we do massage therapy, psychic portraits, dream interpretation. We do a lot of things. We have the Young Living oils, which are used in our massage therapy. We also have the It Works body wraps, which are great for slimming you down. And the second Friday of every month, we have an event where people can try everything out, all those things, and our practitioners at a discounted rate.
So that'd be a week from this coming Friday.
May 9th.
Yeah, May 9th.
12 p.m. to 9 p.m.
And you can find out additional information about the Trinity Metaphysical Center at the website, which is www.trinitymetaphysicalcenter.com. And also you can call here for more information at 973-209-7070. And one other thing. Trinity Metaphysical Center is also the home of the E-Crypt Ghost Hunters, the East Coast Research and Investigation Paranormal Team. So if you have anything that you need investigated, you can just contact us here. And for any investigations, there is no charge. We'll be happy to help you out. So, okay, Jackie, so what are we going to do?
Tonight we are talking about the past.
How to release the past and live in the now. So how do we even go about doing that?
Well, first of all, the biggest thing is being able to let go of things you can't control or things that have already happened and it is in the past. It's one of the hardest things for people to do. And obviously we all have personal experiences in that respect, so we definitely know that. But there's a really good saying for releasing the past, or why you should release the past. And it's, the past should be left in the past, or it can steal your future. So live life for what tomorrow can bring, and not what yesterday has taken away. Each day is a gift. So the longer we hold on to something from the past, the longer it can has our energy. And one of the things I tell people is every time we review or focus on something that's happened to us that's either hurt us or, you know, damaged us or traumatized us, it still has that piece of our energy. You know, it still owns that piece of us. So every time we revisit it, we're giving it to them. And we're never 100% complete. And it's very hard when you've been wrong or hurt. And some things that have happened to people in the past are, you know, like horrible, horrible things. And, you know, the only thing I've been able to say to help people with that is not that they're going to forget it, but that they can file it. So it's something that happened at that particular time in their life when they were that particular person and when they were in that particular situation around those particular people, and they can file it. You know, it was something that happened, but it's not something that has to dictate them and define them for the rest of their life. So a lot of times people have been able to kind of look at it that way and then say, you know what, it doesn't deserve my energy anymore. It already had my energy for all that time. And then you're able to kind of move forward with a different outlook. It is the toughest thing to do, though, you know, and it's because subconsciously and unconsciously, it sits in the back of our head, and even though we might consciously be saying, okay, you know, I'm not worrying about that, I'm not doing that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to move forward, I'm going to be great, but it's still there. And like every once in a while it'll come out and, you know, be put right back in front of them. And it's really your reaction. So it's what you allow, how much you allow it to affect you. And that's pretty much what it is.
I've always kind of felt that nobody can make you happy or unhappy. It's how you choose to react to things. And
exactly.
You can either let it go or you can let it bother you. And I think holding on to the negative energy has all kinds of ramifications, not only spiritually, but I think physically as well. I think it can make you sick if you don't acknowledge it and learn how to release it. I know, it's happened to me.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you said that, because that's one of the biggest things. Usually people who hang on to the past have a lot of physical problems. They might not feel good. They're depressed. They have actual physical issues, headaches all the time. Sometimes they have illnesses. And a lot of times they're worse because it's somebody who's hanging on to that negativity and hanging on to that time or, you know, and a lot of times when things have happened in the past, the situation or the things that happened or the people that caused it, they move on and they're, you know, it's like nothing to them.
Yeah,
and the person that it's affected the most or traumatized is left sitting, you know, and are constantly pondering over it. That's the biggest thing we do that's wrong. We are constantly going over and over and over. How could we have changed it? What did we do wrong? How did this happen?
How can we get revenge?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people do that, and it
that takes
there's
a lot
nothing
of time.
We can do about what happened. You cannot change it, and it's not going to get changed just because we're thinking about it. And I know all of us have had some, you know, some pretty bad stuff happen to us, or things where we, you know, either we didn't see it coming, and we're constantly asking why. How could that happen, or why did this happen to me? And that's the biggest line that I hear most of the time is like, why did that happen to me? Why did I deserve this? It's not. Sometimes it's just, you know, not everything is a lesson in life, but you can make it something you learn from. And I know a lot of people say, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes it happens because of the choices we made, the poor choices we made. And yeah, that is the reason it happened, but it doesn't mean that we necessarily went through it because we were the ones meant to learn a lesson. Sometimes the other person was supposed to learn a lesson, and we were on the butt end of their lesson. And and I say it that in that way. That doesn't mean we can't have growth from it. So that is kind of still a learning experience. You're growing from it. But most of the time, it's us allowing them to still have that control. Or you know, like I said, people let it define them. And I know people who will still bring up stuff that happened 20 years ago. 20 years ago. That means 20 years of their life was spent still harboring that resentment and that anger. And a lot of those people end up very ill, you know, because resentment and anger are very bad for the system and the physical body and the emotional body. And myself being an energy worker, I know, because I know exactly where the areas are that are blocked. And most of the time it is from an emotional situation or something they've carried through, even from childhood.
And I think a lot of people feel powerless sometimes and are afraid to say something and or let their feelings out. And so they just either mm-hmm. try to bury it, which doesn't work,
right.
Or they just seethe for the rest of
yeah.
their lives.
Or they're vindictive.
Yeah.
They just want to get back.
They lash out
yeah.
at anybody.
Yeah. And it's also because they don't want to acknowledge it and accept it. Acceptance is a big part of healing from the past. You know, being able to accept that it happened, being able to accept that was what happened in that time. And just because you allowed things to happen at a bad time in your life because of maybe a poor choice or somebody else's poor choice, doesn't mean that you have to allow it to affect you in the now. And that, you know, that doesn't mean that you're that same person. So the person you were, you know, 3-4 years ago isn't the same person you are now. And, you know, that's one of the things I think you become more insightful in those situations. And, you know, sometimes you're just a person that just ends up being somebody who, and believe me, I know, when you're somebody who's very given and that has an open heart and that type of thing, you tend to be somebody who draws in those kind of people. And, you know, when you're somebody who opens up your heart, you're really, truly doing it out of love. You're not doing it because you're expecting somebody to hurt you or, you know, anything like that.
I think that's sometimes what hurts the worst, because your guard is down.
Yeah.
People that you depend on, or people that you thought, you know, would have your back, when they do something to you or they don't live up to your expectations of them,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, that I think those are the ones that really throw people off.
Oh, yeah. It's heartbreaking sometimes. And I think one of the things that people have a big problem with is betrayal. And even in a lot of the, you know, sessions I've had with people and, you know, them being stuck in situations where they feel like everything's going wrong, or whether it be financially or relationship-wise or personally, a lot of it stems from something that has happened in the past that they just can't let go of and move on from. And they stay in this, like, stagnant, constant rut, and everything seems to be that same way where everything's going wrong. You can't get out of it when you're constantly in it. How do you move forward from the past if you're always looking back? It's like walking. You're supposed to be walking forwards, but you're always looking backwards. How do you not trip up and fall down?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you can't. You can't go through life constantly looking behind you. You know, and but it's hard when you've been hurt. And unless you're somebody who's been through it, it's hard for you, you know, to figure out how to get out of it. Usually when you can talk to other people that have been through it and they can help you with ways that they used and what they learned. And
I've always found it very difficult, but the only thing that helps me through it kind of is that when I do let it go, I feel better. And I always felt that that's what forgiveness was. Forgiveness is not for the person that you're forgiving. It's for the person mm-hmm. doing the forgiving, because yeah. you're letting go. Now, whether the person you're forgiving is able to forgive themselves and heal,
mm-hmm.
not your problem. You know, I think... and I've also found that if somebody has done something to me, I don't have to do a thing. Karma will get them.
Oh, I know. I say that all the time.
I can just sit back and watch. And it may take decades.
Mm-hmm.
But you reap what you sow.
And sometimes if you're not at a point where you feel like there are things that have happened to people where they just don't feel it's forgivable. And I try to tell them it's okay if at that point you don't... You're not ready to, you know, put that out there yet, that the word, you know, forgive, but to accept and be able to be okay with yourself, like you said, self-forgiveness is the biggest thing, you know? And it doesn't mean, you know, accepting the situation. I tell people when you can't forgive a person particularly, to try to forgive the situation. And sometimes if their mind looks at it that way, it's a little bit easier for them to put it to rest, because, you know, there will come a point through time after they start to have some forgiveness and have some peace within themselves that they start to look at it different, and they'll realize, wow, that person's the one that's messed up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's almost like you feel sorry. It's feeling sorry for them and saying, wow, you know, I don't want to be like that person, you know, and I wouldn't want to do it that way anyway. So, you know, is it really the way you're looking at the situation?
I just like to make my life easy. And I like to keep it as unburdened as possible. And if something happens, I do allow myself a moment of indulgence where I get, like, super steamed, and I think of all the bad things in the world, and then I just go, that was bad of me, let it go. But I always allow myself moment of human satisfaction where it's just like, okay. And then I let it out. And it's like, okay. But I think also, you know, helping, if something bad has happened to you or something is bothering you, say something. Don't let it fester.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let it go on. If somebody has said something to you that you don't like, don't ignore it. Just say, I didn't like that. And you don't have to be mean or nasty about it. You just like let them know. Don't sit there.
It's hard for people to do that.
Well, I know that.
Depending on their situation.
Yeah.
Well, you're a more like confrontational person. A lot of people aren't confrontational.
I know, but that's where their problem stems. It because they'll sit there and they'll kind of stew about the way they feel.
I think that's
and the
a lot
frustration.
In workplaces. Like workplaces, you can't really come out and say, you know, you're an ass. You know.
Well,
you might think they are,
person.
But trying to find the and I think that I'm telling you, there's so many clients that come in and a huge part of their problem is either who they're married to or their work. That's like the two biggest things. Like the or both. You know what I mean? So when you're in that, you're like going from one negative thing to the and then you go all day and you work in the other. And that's it's almost hard to when especially somebody who's close to you if it's a significant other. A sibling, children, and they're constantly, like, doing things that hurt you or, you know, big things. It's hard to let it go because you're in it all the time. So for some people, that's their problem.
But
so
it's still always your choice. You can allow it to bother you or you not let it bother you.
Well, that's what we're working on.
How to not allow
it to bother you.
Yeah.
And you can only have that knowing, and that's the biggest point. When you get to the acceptance of you can't change it, this is what happened, you know, especially if it's in the past, you can't change what happened. But when you hit the acceptance level, and then you can kind of move to the next step, then you start to have that knowing, okay, well, now I'm going to have a knowing that this is, like, I know things are going to be better, or I know if there was a reason for that to happen, then there's another door that's opening for me that's a bigger and better. And it's definitely a process, and it's a healing process. It's just some people take, you know, I know people who have taken 5-6 years, and they're still in that process of letting go.
It's funny you're talking about this. I just remembered something that I haven't let go of for years and years and years, and I'm still blaming myself. Or something that how I treated someone, and she forgave me a long time ago. I'm sure. Well, I'm not sure. but I just realized that I had not let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I just asked her, just you know, we've moved on. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked Mike for your forgiveness, and I'm sure you mean me well. Right?
And you were a different person then from what you are now. Easiest way to forgive yourself is to say, okay, I was that person then.
But
now
somebody
I'm not.
In the past, you know? And sometimes that feels a little more complicated to get to, but not really.
Yeah.
You know, considering all the things we do here.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, it's probably easier.
When
they're past.
Yeah, and
because
they
you
release
can never
that.
Say these things again, but you can. You can still say these things again.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And they're listening.
Yep.
I hope so. And I just saw that now listening to you discuss this.
Mm-hmm. Well, self-forgiveness is the biggest, hugest part of letting go of the past that a lot of people have a hard time with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even just the other person, because all the resentment and all that, and they don't even realize they're holding it within themselves because they don't forgive themselves. Like, I could have done something different. Should I have done something different? Did I cause that to happen?
I was the jerk. Definitely.
Yeah,
you know,
and when you know it, and even if you don't know it, and you're constantly going back to that situation, going, but I should have been like this, or I should, you know what I mean? And it's hard. Self forgiveness is a big part of forgiveness, and sometimes having it brought to attention is really good, or making somebody aware of it, because then they're like, oh. You know, it's time to let it go. It's time to live your life. And that's, one of the things is, you know, they say you can't live in the past, you can't live in the future. And there are people who are way too far in the future. That's why they have so much anxiety. And the past, they have a lot of depression. And most of the time they have both, because people are in the too far in the past and too far in the future, and nobody's ever in the now. You know, you have to be in the now and living life, you know, each day and you know, embracing it to really be able to become, you know, a different person and being able to let go of stuff. And believe me, there's stuff we know that happens every day. Sometimes it feels like it's all the time. It's something. But it's really that person. It's really the other person or the other situation a lot of times, and it's not us. We just happen to be, you know, like we were talking about, when you're a good soul and you're a giving soul, you kind of fall into those situations, and, you know, it starts to take its toll.
I think
what's
sometimes people...
on it?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, sounds great.
Hey, Charlie just came in. Charlie's with us again.
Hey, I'm here. I think you're right. I think a lot of times, you sit down and you're angry with somebody, or you go years and you can't forgive them. Probably one of the dumbest things you can do is beat yourself up about a situation, only for the fact that if you do finally end up seeing that person, the two of you probably, if you come to your senses before you die, and you do talk to that person, the two of you probably realize that you don't even remember what you were angry with. So, I mean, why were you angry for all those years? One of my friends, a little bit off on this, one of my friends at the time, a while ago, had said something to me that still sticks out. And he sits there and he goes, "What's the opposite of love?" And a lot of people say hate, and it's not.
Indifference.
When you have indifference, that's the total opposite of love, because when you love somebody, you're engaged, you're there, you're in the environment, you're in the relationship, you're active, you're playing an active part. Hate, you're still playing an active part.
Right.
There's still something there.
You're still expending it.
You're still
energy,
yeah,
on
your
them,
energy.
Right?
Yeah.
But indifference, at that point, you sit there and you say, you know what? You're done. You're moving on. And you know what? You can move on a lot of different ways. You can move on with a pit in your stomach. You can move on, you know, like Dana said, and then finally get to the point where you sit there and say, you know what? Why am I beating myself up? Why would I put myself through that? And it's hard. It's hard. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I can think right off the bat two people that I totally, totally hate. I mean, when I see one fella, you know, God bless him, it's just the fact that I see red when I see this person. And the other person just got me so angry because it was a trust that was violated. And that, to me, you know, when you trust somebody with a lot and they do wrong, that's a very, very tough nut to crack. That's a tough one to you know, forgive. I think I have in that situation. The other one, when somebody does wrong to your family and you see red,
mm-hmm.
It's very hard to forgive that. I mean, if it was against me, I could forgive it. But against somebody in my family, you know, I don't know what would happen if that person showed up on my front steps.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I don't think I'd throw my arms around them so that I'd know how big a hole to make in the backyard. I don't think I'd do that. Because I've seen that on Facebook, and I thought that was hilarious. But I wouldn't throw my arms around them, no. I don't know if I could forgive them. I mean, I know I still carry it with me, and it's one of these things that's just tough.
That was Sylvia Brown that I heard talk about this, and she had said, God knows we're in a human form. He knows there are some things we're not capable of forgiving. And one of the things she talked about was, like, somebody murdering their, you know, someone's child or something like that. And she's like, he knows we're in human form. But to just accept it and acknowledge that it happened and put it somewhere where, okay, you don't need to, you know, it's not necessarily the person you're forgiving, it's yourself you're forgiving for feeling that type of feeling towards them. And it's more or less saying, okay, that happened, that person's not part of my life, I'm having nothing to do with that person, I'm giving that person no energy. But you're also not going to let, as I said to Diane, and Dana, not let that person define who you are as you move forward in life, because every time you think of that person that way, that's what it's doing.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to say, okay, that's going here, because who they were then. But it's how we choose to move forward with it. And that's why I've always liked that I heard that from her. Because so many people are like, I can't forgive, I can't. And they almost get themselves sick over the fact that they feel like they are obligated to forgive to move forward. And it is. Forgiveness is a huge thing. And sometimes you can forgive and you can really just be let it go and start from scratch, like Dana said. But sometimes it's just a matter of saying, okay, I forgive the situation. And they can't forgive that person. And I know a lot of people that can't. And everybody's different. There are some people that feel like you, no matter what, you have to forgive. You have to forgive, period. If you don't forgive, you're going to hell. And that, you know, when you're spiritual and you talk to people who've crossed over and you know how that works, it doesn't work that way. Because when you're talking to the people that crossed over that might have done the wrong doing, it's not coming through. It's a completely different story when it's coming through and they realize how it's affected everybody that's still here, or how it really truly affected that person, and now they're up there looking at it down, and
sometimes they still don't care.
Sometimes they don't, but a lot of times they do, and, you know, it's different when it's coming through that way, because a lot of people end up having that release and that closure after somebody's crossed over, especially if it's somebody they knew or somebody that's in family and that type of thing, because they're able to get it at that point.
I took a class one time, and you know, you're hitting so many. Let's just say I didn't have a good time this afternoon. Let's just say that. But the idea here is that I went to a class. Yeah, back to that. I went to a class a while back, and they said that they basically said about forgiving people and the load you carry if you can't forgive people,
yeah.
how it shapes your future because of how it molds your mind,
right.
Is that your thoughts and everything, all your filters change. And they said sometimes what's a really great idea is to put yourself in that person's
mm-hmm.
position.
You step out and look in.
You step out and you look at it from their perspective, not from your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a kid I knew in high school. And we were on the wrestling team, and I never made it to the football team because my parents were afraid I was going to get hurt. Okay, I was pretty much
the
same size now as I was then, and they thought I would get hurt. So, I mean, you know, they did let me wrestle. I wouldn't get hurt on the mats wrestling because I used to wrestle pretty well. But this one kid that was in wrestling practice, I'm not going to say his name, just in case you're listening. But he got me in an illegal hold and was just squeezing the air out of me, and I couldn't breathe. And I was like, all of a sudden, you know, when you're in such pain and you can't breathe and you really feel yourself going, your survival instincts take over. And I went temporarily nuts. For just a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
And I turned into this kid, and I grabbed his head, and I didn't care what the rest of his body was doing, but I grabbed his head, and I just pulled the back of his head so that his face was in my chest. Now, when you're wrestling, you're wearing sweats, you're wearing plastic sweatsuits. You've got all kinds of regalia about you so that if you pull somebody into you, they're basically, you're putting a blanket over their face or a pillow over their face. So I grabbed the back of his head and I pulled it into my chest. And I was squeezing so tightly, I could feel him going limp. And the coach came over, and the coach was a great guy. He used to walk around with a wiffle ball bat. And, you know, if you hit something with a wiffle ball bat, it sounds hugely loud, especially in a gym, it echoes. And he must have seen me on this kid, and he comes over and he starts beating me with the bat. Get off him, get off him. He's trying to pull me, and I'm telling you, it took everything he had to get me off of that kid, and then to basically get that kid going again. But You know, I was this close to being wearing striped sideways, you know, with a little number on my chest. And that was in high school. And the coach just looked at me like, what the, you know, what the hell just happened? Yeah. And I couldn't explain it to him. I was just, you know, I was out there. And then I started to come back. It was like I was like this, and all of a sudden I started to get the bigger picture as to where I was and what was going on. And I hated this kid. I hated him. From that point on, I hated him. And I took this class, and the class said, put yourself in the position of this kid, of the other person. And when I did, I realized, okay, he was on the football team, but he never was first string. He was always hanging around with all the cool kids, but he was never one of the cool kids. You know, he was always in the mix, but he was never the mix, right. You know. And in the wrestling practice, he was the guy that was trying to show the other guys that he was one of them.
Right.
Until I basically almost killed him, at which time, you know, that changed totally. But I was like, I'm thinking, what kind of anguish is this kid going through in high school? I mean, he wasn't being bullied. It was nothing like that, nothing that serious.
But in himself.
But in himself, to have to do that, to try to do that to me. And then for me to, you know, turn around and do what I did, I mean, which was totally, I guess.
But that's usually what people do. When somebody does something wrong, they turn around and they want to, you know, retaliate.
Payback.
And I learned that as a kid with my dad. You know, I come home crying, some kid punched me or pushed me or something, and my father says, "Dingo, so are you kidding? You turn around, and if he punches you, you punch him twice, or you punch him twice as hard as he hit you. That'll stop him from doing that." And I was like, okay, you know. And, you know, if I hit somebody, I could put a hurt on him because of my size. But, I mean, I used to hold back because I did it one time, and I didn't like it. I didn't like how I hurt the kid. But you sit there and you say, if you look at it from the other side, if you see what was happening from the other side, I was like, wow, you know, this kid really, he had some issues. And I had the issue now because this is what I tried to do, and I carried it with me for about, oh, heck, 10, 12 years. I went to that class, I looked at it that way, and I was like, got to back off. Why would I still be angry at this kid? You know? Why would that happen? But I don't know. It's just a fact of, you know, when you carry it with you, just like you said before, you know, you're ruining your life.
You.
It owns you. You're ruining it.
The one thing I learned about that, especially when it comes to a particular person, is whenever anything happens like that where it's that bad and it's kind of been directed at you or projected at you, it's really not about you. The issue is always about them, and it's just that you're the one on the other end, but that person is usually going through something to make it that way. And that's why a lot of people, when they were the bullier in school, or they were something like that, and, you know, you see that on TV when they have them come up and talk and all that. And they really did carry it with them for a long time that they hurt somebody. And that person's been a mess since then because of everything they've gone through, because they could never let it go. But when you're young and it happens, that is what happens. It affects you to a point where you cannot let go of it for years and years and years. So, you know, it's probably one of the toughest things for people to do. Relinquishing control and letting go of the past. And part of letting go of the past is somebody, if you are a very controlling person and have a very controlling personality, you will be one of the most difficult people to let go of the past. Because you get so frustrated that you can't control what happened back then, or the people now. It could be something that happened in the past and it's still affecting you now, and you can't control it. And you're not even realizing it subconsciously that's why it hangs on you even more or more intensely when you're somebody like that, you know.
I remember a couple decades ago when I had my mystery illness, I call it, because they couldn't find out what was wrong with me. But during that time, I had a friend, former friend now, do something to me that had a really great financial implication. So, you know, I was in a mess financially for a while. But holding on to that made, first of all, my physical situation even worse. But the physical information, the physical situation made it difficult to let it go. It was like a monster that was feeding itself. And so that took me maybe almost a decade to resolve and finally let it go. And then at the same time, I was getting better physically too. So I don't know which one came first, mm-hmm. you know, the physical part or the emotional part. But for a long time, I was just a wreck.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time, I would just sit there and couldn't find my way out. You know, I knew I was in a place I didn't want to be in. And especially with the physical part, they couldn't find anything wrong with me, even though I was in a lot of pain.
Right.
And
that's,
you know,
the part I was saying. Like,
I'd break out in hives, and,
yep.
and I would, nobody could tell me what was wrong.
A lot of times that's the anxiety, too, the anxiety of having that, you know.
So that was very difficult
anger.
For me. It was a hard thing to get through, but I did learn a lot from it, and that's when I decided just to make my life easier and just let it go. And I really try not to let things bother me or you know, hang on to them.
Right.
Just
one of the things that people talk about a lot, too, is a lot of people have a hard time letting go of, like, particular relationships, especially the younger people. You know, when their relationship goes into a different direction and then, you know, they split and then they're literally distraught and, you know, months and years later because they want that person back and, you know, that person has actually moved on and you're not letting go that, you know, that person might not be for you, you know. You're just sitting in that same little place and that person's already moved on and that's a big thing too because you're letting them own you, you know, or that, you know, that past hurt. And a lot of times that happens a lot with relationships.
Let me ask you something. When you talk about, you know, letting go of things, do you think if you're younger and something happens to you that it's easier to let go, or do you think if something happens to you when you're older, is it easier for you to let go?
That is a very good question.
I think it's easier for me now.
I think it depends on, number one, the maturity level, but also the situation, so like what it was that happened. I've always been a person where I was super sensitive. And it's not that I'm not sensitive now, but at least the sensitivity is moved to talking to dead people and getting psychic information and not, you know, you looked at me the wrong way when I was young and I cried. You know, I didn't want people to not like me and I didn't want, you know. So when things happened to me, I definitely took them to heart and took them personally and you know, more in an upset, you know, way. And then it seemed as I got older, the things that happened to me were even worse and more horrible and, like, more, you know, something that was bigger than the things that happened when I was younger. I thought they were big, but they really weren't that big, you know. And I think as you get older, and depending on how your growth is, if you're more spiritual, if you're somebody who's more, you know, black and white, I think it depends where you are at that point when things are happening to you, how you react. So, and I definitely feel like I got through them quicker. I get through them quicker, like you said, Diane, as you're older. But I have noticed in the past 4 years it's even easier. So, like, now when things happen, I'm just like, okay. Like, I just accept it, and then I put it here. And it might still hurt at times when I think of, like, I'll try to think of the good stuff, so then that's the part here. But I try not to, at this point, I never wish anything, like, horrible. It's so funny. I know people who always say, I wish them their just deserved. And in the back of their head, they're like, yeah, you know what I want for their just deserved? But I laugh because you know what? This rolls into next week's episode. I never worry because karma does catch up.
Bitch.
And you know what? I don't have to. I have been able to sit back, and they might think it's all good now, but you know what? 5 years from now, you don't know.
Yeah. No, it's true. You know, I used to think the same thing, and I've gotten to the point now where it's easier to just, you know, put it up on the shelf and try to just let it go. Because a lot of times, you know, what are you going to do with it anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, how is it going to affect you, you know, and how is it going to bother you? You know, there are times when you sit there and make your problem or something. But most of the time, if you think about the grand scheme of things, you know, when I was younger, I used to hang on to things. Oh, my God.
Well, you had all the time in the world when you were younger.
I still do.
I don't.
Well, I got news for you. After this, yeah, you do. But the idea here is just the fact that, you know, I'm looking at things differently. And, you know, people can piss you off, whether it's at work or you're at home or, you know, you're at the supermarket or wherever it is. You know, there are people, there is always going to be somebody there that's not going to do something that's going to be either in your best interest or it's not going to be one of these things that you would do and you might see it as being something that shouldn't have been done. But, you know, we can take care of that. If it's a huge issue, then we definitely could, you know, address it at the time. I mean, don't just ignore it. Address it at the time and take it where it's got to go. But if it's just, you know, somebody being stupid or, you know, a situation that doesn't have any relevance in the near or far future, put it on the shelf. You know, it'll probably go away by itself if you don't think about it. It's not worth the effort anymore to me.
I know, that's the way I feel. If something bothers me, I just don't even pay it any mind because I'm not going to waste any energy on it.
Yeah.
Not any energy thinking about it, deal with it. It's like, you know,
a lot of times the people, or especially people who have wronged you or whatever, they are still 5, 10, 15 years later, still talking about it or still putting in their digs. And that's when you know it's their issue. If they still feel, actually you should be flattered, if they still feel the need to constantly do that, then they have an insecurity or they have an issue because there must be a reason. You know, and a lot of times for people it's envy or jealousy or something like that, and I tell them don't. You know, it's easy for me to say don't think about it, that it hurts because, like, it might be people they used to be friends with or
absolutely
whatever that are still saying, you know, why are they talking behind my back? Why are they, you know, why did they get mad at me? Or da, da, da. You can't worry about it at that point. If it's bothering you that much and you really can't figure out what you did and you really truly don't feel you did anything horrible to them, then you just need to move on because then it's their issue. They're the one that has something going on where they feel the need to make it that big of a deal. So, you know, that's it. Like we're saying, you just gotta let it go. You can't change it.
Yeah, it's you know.
So how do you let it go? It sounds so simple.
Just like we're saying, you just it's acceptance. Just saying, you know what, okay, it happened, I can't change it, and that's the thing, I can't change it. You know, when you know you can't change it, that's the frustrating part for people. They don't care that they can't change it, they don't like that it happened, and they just keep going back to, especially people who have split up, can you believe he did this to me, and he did that to me, and that whatever did this, and he did this, and he did that, or she did this, and she did that. I've been there. You can't get it any worse than I had it, you know. I had somebody pick up and leave and leave myself and my children. So if you think somebody didn't have to work through forgiveness, and it wasn't even forgiveness for myself was the biggest thing because of the kind of person I am. You know, forgiving myself, you know, what did I do wrong? You know, oh, my God, I chose this person as my partner, and now they did it to my children. You know, and the effect that it had on us as a whole, as a unit. And trust me, it has been a ripple effect. It has affected everybody down to their core, and everybody's had to deal with it in a different way. Years, for the past, you know, whatever, 3-4 years. And I am definitely somebody who can tell you it is possible to get through one of the most devastating, emotionally and financially crippling situations that you couldn't ever imagine going through. Because even though you're left there trying to figure out how to pick up the pieces, and you have people in your life, you know, friends you've had for years or family or whatever, and somehow you ended up being the bad guy because you literally were financially and emotionally crippled, and all you were in survival mode. And when you can't be 100% into friends and family, and, you know, when you can't meet up to their expectations, I put so much pressure on myself in that, I had to forgive myself with that. The amount of forgiveness I had to work through or healing from past hurts is ridiculous, but I have so many people that have said to me, they would never even know I've gone through all that stuff, and when they hear it, they're surprised, because you can do it. And for me, it all came on that, like, on the finally just saying, I definitely couldn't change that. So I either choose to move forward, pick myself up, and be the best I can. My mom is on the other side. My father is on the other side. And I'm damn sure going to make them proud of how they raised me. And I'm going to move forward and be the best I can be and not let what somebody else chose who was in a bad place dictate or define me as a person, you know. And I'm going to be the best I can be, and I'm going to move forward happy, period. And that's when you start to heal, when you say, I can do it, and you own yourself. It's really about owning yourself, because whenever anything from the past is still affecting you, you don't own all of yourself. And I always say that. You're never 100% complete. You can't be. And there's a lot of things that have happened to people where I'm amazed when they're sitting in front of me what they've gone through, and they're happy, and they're optimistic, and they're like, oh, it's okay, that happened, but I know they'll be like, I know God is with me, I know my loved ones are with me, and I know, you know, the best line we all hear is, you know, God doesn't give you any more than he thinks you can handle. And boy, oh boy, he must have thought I could
I think that's man's idea.
Yeah.
Okay, that's man's idea of trying to deal with what God gives you, because
sometimes you just can't handle anymore.
Sometimes God basically says, go ahead, try, you know.
Yep.
That one statement that I love is the fact that, you know, man makes plans and God laughs. Because there are times when there's just no way it can get done.
Mm-hmm.
But he just, you know, gives it to you and says, here you go, do what you can, and that's what you do. And, you know, if your situation, forget that, I would have been long gone. But, you know, it's not an easy thing to go through.
That was the problem. They were long gone.
Well, long gone. But, you know, there are people out there that have devastating situations. You know, what you went through was very tough. I think probably the toughest thing you could go through is maybe the death of a child.
So,
that's got to be, I mean, I don't even know how parents could go through that. After that, I think there's, I've got friends of mine who have a son that's severely handicapped. And to get him to the point where he is now, he's about, I think he's 17 now. And he's, you know, he's in a place where they have to take care of him. They just can't have him in the house. But he needed to get all of his meds balanced correctly and this and that. And he has to have 24-hour watch on him only for the fact that he's that, you know, shaky.
Right.
But at least he's stabilized compared to what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to look on the bright side that they still have him, no matter what condition he's in, they still have him.
That's the unconditional love, though.
Yeah.
When you have unconditional love for people, and, like, I don't harbor any resentment on any, not even my ex, on anything that's happened, because I know those people all have their own stuff going on, and I am somebody who always says in my sessions, step out and look in, because when you're in it, you're all in it. And like you said, you know, when you flip out and you need to stop, take 3 deep breaths and step out and really looking at the big picture and say, okay, well, what can I, what's going to, like you said, what's going to change this? Where is that person at this? You can't change somebody else's issues, you know, that they're going through. You might, if they want help with them, that's different. But if you're at the, you know, the receiving end of something, you can't change, you know, that particular incident once it's already happened, you know, and it's already gone. It's already been done and gone. But when you look back at it and you're looking back at those people that caused it, you can say, okay, well, what were they going, you know, sometimes people are just messed up and sometimes they aren't thinking clearly. And unfortunately, yeah, they might have guilt about it years later, or maybe they're thinking twice about what's happened, but they can't take it back either. You know, and like Dana said, the best thing is when somebody can come and say, I'm sorry. You know, maybe, and that's what I said, when people do hurt you, and I believe me, this is what I was talking about back then, I've been on that end, when somebody's hurt you and at that point they're all in their stuff because they're so bent on, no, you hurt them, you're directing some horrible thing at them, even though you're not, you're just trying to survive. You know, if they had stopped and stepped back and looked in, it wouldn't have been about them. They would have, because at that point, things were about me. It had to be about me and my family, and all of those people were making it about them. Even the XLS, everything was about them. They never stopped and stepped out and looked in and said, well, what are they going through? What's going on with them? You know what I mean? And so I think that's what a lot of people do years later. Like you're saying, 10, 15 years later, somebody might say, you know what? Now, maybe I didn't see the situation the way it really was. You know, maybe I got my nose bent out of joint for no reason at all. Like, maybe they really didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, but, and I hate to bring this up at this juncture, but how about the families where two brothers or a brother and a sister or two sisters got into a fight, it's been 25 years, and they finally end up at a family reunion, and you figure out, okay, come on, bury the hatchet, come on. And they start talking, and they start it all over again.
Not supposed to happen.
Well, it's not supposed to, but it does.
Yeah.
And you sit there, and you're just sitting there saying to yourself, you were 25 when it happened. You're 50 now. Is there nothing you learned over the past 25 years that could help you understand or just let go that situation?
Well, sometimes people, those are the people that have their issues.
Those
are the people that they don't want change. They don't want to. They don't want growth. Or even if they think they have it, they don't.
They like to wallow in their problems.
Like, yeah, absolutely. And they're usually the ones that preach the most about everybody else and how they're supposed to do things. Yet they have these things, these hang-ups about themselves where they can't move on from things. They have to be right. That's the problem with people. Is when you, isn't it a lot more work to always have to be right? Really? Do you, I mean, because to me, it's like if I always felt like I had to be right,
it's
going to
teach you when you were
wrong. You know what I mean? Isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it easier to just like, okay, you have your opinion, you have your opinion, or have a, you know, have a good conversation back and forth, and maybe you don't agree, but that's okay, agree to disagree. But do you have to be right? It's the people that have to be right where they hang on and harbor these things of, you know, and then they have to talk about it. So think about it. For 15, 20 years, they're talking every time. Well, every time they think of that person and they go to a conversation about that person who they still haven't let go of, even though they're not in their life, they have to talk about it. They have to talk about what happened. They have to bring up, and they never let it go. And you know what? It will catch up to them. Because the person's probably already moved on doing other things.
And meanwhile, they've got ulcers and all kinds of problems.
Yeah, just like you were talking about. You know, that's what happens. And, you know, it all catches up. In one way or another, you know, when you know you're just doing things, you know, with the right intention or a good heart, you'll, you know.
Well, I just feel that now that I'm getting closer to the universe, I just.
The universe. I like the way you put that.
I just want to just let things go. I want a nice, quiet. I don't want any angst. Letting it all go, man.
I think we mellow out in our old age, though, right?
Oh, definitely.
You know,
I feel like I don't have the time to deal with it, so I'm just not going to deal with it. I'm going to let it go. You know, it just, I don't want karma coming after me at this point because...
Because we've seen too many people.
And I don't have enough time for karma to work its way around. And it takes time to learn your life lessons and for karma to work out right, so I don't need karma biting me in the butt. And so I just, you know, and every time I have an inclination to do otherwise, I just keep thinking, that won't work out for the future, just let it go. It's hard, though. If I didn't get my energy treatments done every week, I'd probably be even worse. But it mellows me right out.
You know what I do? We're talking about the past, but you know what I have noticed a lot with people with letting go of the past is they also can't let go of what maybe somebody had said to them. And it could be like 30 years ago, like, you were fat, or, you know, you have a big nose, or whatever it is. They still now have no self-esteem or self-worth because of what one person might have said. And a lot of times that happens for people who might have been in an abusive relationship or a relationship where somebody was, or jealous friends who were critical of them for certain things. Do you know they still harbor that, like, they can't have self-forgiveness. Like, they can't say, you know, that person had the issues. So even though they're pointing out that flaw, it's hard for people, all of us, when we're in it, when it's happening to us, they have that flaw.
Do you parents say to their kids sometimes? Parents can be innocent in what they say to their children, but it will never leave you. You just reminded me, my sister and myself. My mother used to say, and my dad used to say, that I was a smart one, my sister was a pretty one. She grew up feeling stupid, I grew up feeling ugly.
And they thought they were complimenting both of you.
Wow.
And that stayed with both of us forever.
Yeah.
That's,
isn't that a strange one?
You know, it's funny, you know, because I always wanted my kids to grow up confident,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sure themselves and all of that. And I never missed a chance to tell both of them, not that they were pretty, not that they were good athletes, not that they were this. I just told them both so many times because I was, how proud I was mm-hmm. of them. In a particular situation or just how proud I was. You know, my son just turned out to be such a great human being. My daughter, God, just fantastic. And it's funny because as a kid, you know, I was trying to take the path where it wasn't going to go one way or another, you know, like, you know, all your sister's so pretty and you're such a good mechanic or, you know, I didn't want one to feel slighted one way or the other. And, oh, well, my daughter's not a mechanic. And, you know, I don't know if she could have been a mechanic. She could have done anything she wanted. My son was a good mechanic, but he turned out to be a great guy. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, you know, did I take the cheap way out? I don't think so. I was just lucky to pick the right word, just telling them how mm-hmm. proud I was about them, because
well,
that's like non, it was
define,
non-defined,
yeah,
right.
Non-defined, so
yeah.
You know any place with it.
And what was funny is today, I ended up going to after-school event down in Clifton to these kids whose parents, you know, leave them at school until like 5 o'clock. And these kids were great. They were like 4 or 5 years old. And we would read to them. And, you know, act out things and talk to them. And, I mean, the kids were just phenomenal. And it was funny because what you're saying, you know, you were the smart one and your sister was the pretty one, right? I sat there and we had the kids color these little masks that were like butterflies because we read a book about butterflies. And when we were doing this little event, I sat there and I pulled my phone out and I said, I want to take pictures of everybody with their mask. I want to show how pretty the masks are. And I go up to one little girl and she goes like this. You know, she cowers a little bit. And I said, what's the matter? And the teacher says, oh, she's shy. You know, she's shy. And then I went over to this other little girl and she's like, here I am. Take my, I'm ready, Mr. DeMille, you know. And you looked at this little kid and I said, and her? She says, oh, she loves the camera. Now, how did she get that feeling, or how did the shy one get her feeling? Mm-hmm. Because maybe what her parents said at the time? You know, I don't know. But you sat there and you said, geez, you know, those filters that are put in our kids' brains so early on. Mm-hmm. I had filters in my brain. Believe me, I had some major problems. I thought, well, I had major problems. And then once I realized what my problems were, those filters, mm-hmm. and where they came from, then I was like,
into a serial killer with stress, right?
Well, could have, but luckily I took the other road. But the idea here is that, you know, you sit there and you think about what's put in your brain by your family.
Mm-hmm.
God bless your family and God bless your family, you know, because sometimes they yep. don't know what they're doing to you. And it's just a matter of...
They have fear. But for some reason, I missed the whole fear. Thank God.
There you go.
My mother was like...
That's why you turned out so perfect.
I know. My mother was like, I'm fearless, you know?
There you go.
And my mother was afraid of everything, you know?
They say that everything that's said to you by somebody, especially if it's negative, mm-hmm. is something that they actually... you know, one of those things that are actually
in themselves
that they fear about themselves, or that they don't want to acknowledge
about themselves.
And when you think about it, when I've thought about it, even from what people have said to me, I'm like, wow, you know what, that does fit. Like, if I step out and look in and say, you know what, I mean, obviously it still hurts, but kind of like you said, when you step out and look at in it a different way, you know, now I'll just turn around and say to somebody, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but that's just because that's how you feel about yourself. And it's like dead silence because they're like, yeah, you're right. And now, like, when you get somebody who actually acknowledges it and says, you know what it is? It's taking responsibility. Like, because people can hurt you, but if they take responsibility for it, they acknowledge it, you know, you can move on from that. But if they never take responsibility for it and it's all your fault, there's something wrong there. That's not how you heal. It's not how you move forward. And you will never have everything you think you're going to have in life. Because you know what? It might all look rosy now, but trust me, we have seen it way too many times. It could be 2 years from now. It could be 6 months from now. It could be 10 years from now. But it will not be that way because it just doesn't happen. You can't hurt people or do things the wrong way or... not what we just talked about, not take responsibility for your actions. You know, at some point it's okay, I messed up, I made a mistake, you know, I made the wrong choice, I didn't do things the right way, but take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can, you know, both parties can heal from it and you can move forward. But when you don't take responsibility and you're just going to try to justify it and make excuses, that's not anybody for you either. It's still in there. Whenever you know what I mean? It just depends how you look at it.
Well, we're talking about, you know, childhoods and kids and what's said now and then and whatever. How about the people? And you hear it on TV all the time, some of these movie stars that are making huge dollars, huge, just more money than, you know, probably everybody in this room combined.
That's not hard.
But the idea here is these people, they sit there and they'll talk, and sometimes they'll get into an interview and they'll sit there and they'll want to do something so that their mother or their father could see them mm-hmm. in a good light. And you sit there and you go, how screwed up was that person's childhood, because they're still looking for their parents' approval
mm-hmm.
at this point because of what was said who knows how many years ago. They're still looking for their parents' approval. And me, you know, I was lucky. My parents, no matter what I did wrong, they always thought I was great. And I mean, I don't know how they did that. I really don't know how they did that. But, you know, I had the feeling that they always had confidence in me. Whereas you sit there and, I mean, I was watching TV a couple of weeks ago and I forgot who the actor was, but he's well known. And he sits there and he goes, yeah, well, now my mom can see the movie that I'm in and be proud of me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you've been making movies for 20, 25 years now. And now she can be proud of you. And he's got to be maybe...
So she wasn't proud of him the whole time?
I would think she was.
Because a lot of times people will say that because they feel their parents did a lot for them to get them to that level, so they want them to see that. Yeah. But if it's said that way, it might be...
I was just floored when he said it, and I was like, well, you know what? Maybe this will have closure for him on that. That would be great if it did. But how many people
maybe
out there
feel that
way?
Maybe he feels like he didn't please them, you know?
Maybe.
For me, my parents were taken when I was,
you
know, in my 30s. So for me, when I say I want them proud of me, I want them proud of me to know that I didn't stay stuck in a...
Yeah.
I didn't get depressed and stay stuck in the dung hole.
You know, what I didn't think was maybe they had sacrificed so much for that.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe,
you know,
they
maybe
feel like
now
they,
he's like, oh, you know, here we go, you know? It's
made it all
like,
worthwhile.
Oh, made it all worthwhile. Maybe that was it. Yeah. But you sit there and you say, we're all so fragile. We're, as humans,
yeah, well,
we
my
are
mother
so fragile.
Always told me she didn't care what I did. As long as I was happy,
mm-hmm.
she would be happy.
There you go.
You know, no matter what I did. She says, you want to, you know, work in a factory, you want to be a hairdresser, you want to go to college, anything, whatever you want, as long as you're happy, I will be happy.
There you go.
Yeah, and then my dad, in order not to come through on his promises, said, at the end of it, he'd say, you know what, whatever you want, you can get. You know, you can make it happen. You know, and so it's like, I did. Because I knew, you know, and basically that's why I sort of tended not to trust people for a long time. I trusted myself.
Yep.
But that was a good thing. It turned out to be a really good thing, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for that kind of,
That's excellent.
Focus in a way. I didn't have certainly didn't have a perfect childhood at all, you know. But, you know, it kind of changed your
I don't think anybody ever has a perfect childhood.
No, don't say that. No, Carly, people have better
than others. I did have a perfect childhood.
Did you think you had a perfect childhood when you were in it?
Yeah. And I thought I still think I had a perfect childhood. Looking back, I mean, me and all my friends and people that I know, if my mom and dad are in this room right now,
it's like you were leaving to Beaver.
Thank God I had them for parents. I mean, they weren't the perfect parents, but they did everything right for me, and it was just amazing.
So you grew up feeling secure and loved and appreciated.
And then I went through my teenage years where I caused pain for everybody, but they still were there, and it was just amazing. So I mean, I when I hear people say what they had and how it was all not perfect,
mm-hmm.
I feel bad for them. My kids, right now, sit there and they have a charmed life. That's what I say about my life. My life's been charmed. And their life, they're always going to hit ruts here and there. But I told my kids, you can always depend on me. Whatever it's going to be, you can depend on me. I don't care what it is. You know, I've done stupid things in my life and my parents backed me up. You're going to do stupid things in your life and I'll back you up. That's what family does. But, I don't know. Hopefully, anybody listening here, okay, I'm the only one that has
perfect the only
life.
One.
So
I was gonna say,
if you want to call me and ask for directions on how to do that, I can do that.
my childhood was more like, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
And it did.
But it also made me not afraid to face things.
There you go.
My whole life has been that.
Yeah, I've lived through some pretty horrible stuff and came through it, and I'm still here, and I'm not angry.
There you go.
Yeah, you know,
I should be angry, but I'm not angry.
That's a good way of how you worded it. When you're not angry, then you're healing.
I was angry when I was a kid, but mostly it was a feeling of not being in control. I had no control over it as a child. I just had to take it, whatever came, but once I became an adult and started working through it, then I don't know. And I just became not angry and stopped carrying the burden around, so I'm not angry.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Well, thank you.
Because, you know...
Actually, I'm very happy. I'm very happy. Awesome. I've got have enough to eat, have a roof over my head. Have a good family. I have awesome friends, definitely. It's my awesome friends that have carried me through life. I've always been very thankful that people have been put in my path that are like the best people in the world. And they've taught me a lot, and they taught me a lot, and they helped me through a lot, and it makes me a better person, I think, trying to be worthy of their friendship. So...
We love you. Yeah, and you can use those essential oils that we're going to be playing at commercial soon.
Yeah, before
we
even
calling.
Yeah, we're going to be doing Pam's essential oils, so if you just hold on,
Pam,
we'll be back in a minute.
Come here, Pam.
Hi, this is Pam from Tell Them Pam Sent You, here to talk to you about Young Living Essential Oils. Are you using essential oils in your spiritual and healing practice? Are you using them for wellness and meditation? I know I am. Essential oils raise your vibration and can enhance your psychic experience. There's an undeniable movement going on right now, an awakening, and people are finding out what essential oils are and what they can do when they're used in their purest form. Their healing properties are undeniable. Young Living essential oils are among the top 4% in the world, never cut with synthetics or additives. They're planted, harvested, distilled, and bottled by the same company. That's the Young Living seed-to-seal process. Current labeling policy for essential oils requires that for a bottle to say 100% pure, get ready for this, it only has to contain 5% essential oil. Can you ingest your lavender or frankincense? Take a look at your bottles. If they say do not ingest, not for human consumption, do not ingest. And don't put it on your skin. Use Young Living therapeutic grade essential oils. They truly are 100% pure, free of chemicals, pesticides, and heavy metals. You deserve the best. Your clients deserve purity, not oils cut with fragrance. What's in your wellness kit? Can you apply your peppermint and your lavender now freely, knowing the difference? Please contact me for more information. Pam Jordan at VibrantSense.com. That's www.PamJordan.VibrantSense.com. And look me up on Facebook. Look for Tell Them Pam Sent You.
And Pam's essential oils can be found here at the Trinity Metaphysical Center. And once again, we're located at the Hardeston Plaza North on Route 23 in Hamburg, New Jersey. And the phone number here is 973-209-7070. If you want any further information on our spiritual offerings or Pam's essential oils. So what are we going to be talking about next week?
Karma.
Karma.
So that's going to be an interesting episode.
My karma ate your dogma.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I feel like we could keep going tonight. I mean, it's too bad we don't have another hour.
Well, we have to roll into that because when you roll into karma, and there's a lot of people who have actually, you know, can talk about like them actually seeing it, seeing karma, you know, happen with people and. And it, I think it's great. It's just it'll help people to kind of ease their mind, too, because it really does. You know, we've seen it.
Yeah, definitely. That's how I know to be on my best behavior whenever possible, because when you're not, it comes back.
That's right.
So next week, we'll be talking about karma. Everybody tunes in. And so for tonight, we're going to say goodbye. This is Diane.
Jackie.
Dana.
And Charlie.
So good night, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.